Welcome to Big Game Hunger, a show where me and a guest craft the big next game every episode. We'll be taking three random ingredients and blending them together into one incredible game. I'm Jenna Stieber, and I crave content. And I'm joined by Chandana A. Kanayaka. Chandana, who are you, and what do you have a hunger for?
Hi, I am currently... Well, actually, hunger came first. I'll do that. I just got back from London, and I had made a list of places I wanted to hit. I only hit, like, 2 of, like, 20 places, so I'm still hungry for London food right now.
Whoa, so many great restaurants. Specifically for London food?
Yes.
What of the two places that you did hit, which was the best?
It was a Sri Lankan restaurant. Not as good as my mom's cooking, but it was very good.
Did you tell them that? Were you like, could be better. Could be mom's cooking.
They know. They know. They know.
And who are you? What kind of work do you do?
I work in video games. Have been doing that for 27 years. I'm currently co-founder, creative director of Outer Loop Games. We released a game called Thirsty Suitors late last year.
It was incredible. It was on my game of the year list. It was superb. So if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you haven't played Thirsty Suitors yet, what are you doing? Get out there and play it. It's still available and it's incredible.
Thank you so much.
So that game had a lot of like a different kinds of elements of different games. So you had like the cooking element, you had the skateboard element. Is there a specific one of those that you are drawn to when you're looking for games to play?
To play or while making that? Or I mean...
Both.
Both? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the game was a concept we were thinking about while making our first game called Falcon Age, which is a game about raising a falcon and fighting colonizers. Mm-hmm. Came out a couple years ago. We were talking about our parents and relatives, you know, like I'm from Sri Lanka, folks on the team are like different parts of India. Even though we're all South Asian, there's like lots of slightly different and similar, I guess, things and happen and mannerisms and family dynamics. So we were just like, oh, what if we made a game about family dynamics? So Thirsty Suitors was born out of that. Originally, we were going to do a game about arranged marriage, but none of us have really gone through that directly. Then we try to make games that we can speak to directly. So made a game about main character named Jala coming back to her small town and having to encounter her all the mistakes of her past, including her exes, and trying to reconcile with her parents. So cooking is a big part of it. I love cooking. And, you know, folks on the team, we talk about food all the time and different culturally specific food. So that's always going to be in our games. The combat, which we wanted the conversation. We wanted to see if we can have the equivalent of a real high stakes conversation with someone that you were intimately familiar with. Hmm. That might have different memories of what your relationship was and put that through... or really show that in a heightened way. This is why the turn-based combat came through it, because we wanted the dialogue to be as important as the sort of the combat moves that you do. So that's sort of our thinking. It's like theme, how does the gameplay connect with the theme as much as possible? How does the cooking connect with the theme? And the cooking also, there's a lot of very emotional moments in between these quick time cooking events. So it all comes back to theme for us. And how do we convey that through various means of gameplay?
I think it's remarkable how much it's clear that the gameplay structure follows that kind of emotional content, because mm-hmm. it's not just like a cooking game in which you were talking about your emotions with your mom or your dad. It is like an emotional conversation which is structured like a cooking game. Like, it is clear that that structure, the way that those things are layered, and I think it makes it so much more engaging than it would be if it was just like, we're just going to make a cooking game and then you're going to talk about your feelings. Like, I think that is very prevalent. Mm-hmm. Are there a lot of skateboarders in the studio?
Our animation team of one. So we're a team of 15 during Thirsty Suitors. So, and, you know, typical teams are bigger for other games. We're a little slightly bigger than most indie games, but our whole animation, every character in the game is animated by a single person, Azo. So he's also a skater, also does martial arts, also does parkour, also juggles while skating. So he does like all these random things that's why you see some of these really unique looking animations in the game. Those are all things you can do in real life.
Unique looking is such a nice way of putting it. The animations are bonkers.
They are bonkers.
They really go above and beyond.
That's how he expresses himself.
I love that. Yeah. I'm shocked that your studio is only 15 people for Thirsty mm-hmm. Suitors, because it really does feel like a significantly larger game than just 15 people. So it's really impressive. Right.
Thank you.
When you're playing games, mm-hmm. what kind of games do you like to play?
I play a lot of different games. I'm into just trying different things, mostly for story, sometimes some purely mechanic, depending on what I'm into. So mostly recently, like 40 hours into Bellatro, which I've decided I've seen enough, but I still poke at it here and there.
At 40 hours, you were like, okay, I get it. Poker roguelike, I get it.
Yeah. So I played that recently. Let's see. End of the year, I'm usually on like various award juries. So there's like hundreds of codes that we get being part of different juries. So I'm playing through just a ton of games. Ooh. Yeah.
All at the end of the year?
Yeah. Usually I play a bunch of them. But like for me, I'm like as like a game director, I'm always curious how like, I love process and seeing how someone would take a game idea and how they would try to, you know, whether it's like the theme or with the gameplay types or a genre. I'm just super fascinated by how people make things. So that's usually, if I see something interesting, I'm like, how do they, you know, what is their thought process? How do they make it? How would I approach it if I did it differently? Things like that. So.
I mean, you found the perfect job, it sounds like, to fulfill that sort of brain structure.
Yeah. It's been fun. Been doing it a long time.
And I'm thankful that you have, because again, like Thirsty Suitors is such an incredible game. It was such a joy to play. A joy and sometimes a stress to play, but in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely emotionally stress you out at points on purpose, for sure.
Yeah. But in a way that felt really real and in a weird way rewarding, in the same way that mm-hmm. like sometimes being stressed in real life when you're having emotional conversations with people is like, this is the work you have to go through to have a better relationship. And that's very rewarding. And I feel like very rarely have I played a game that kind of captures that feeling of like, all right, we've got to get into it before we can get through it and out of it and into a better relationship.
I think that tension is important in games and shows and movies, like having, especially when you're trying to do something that's a little deeper than certain surface level emotions we see in games. So I think it's, you know, we have to kind of set you up with the tension, and so that when the tension is released, it feels a lot better.
Chandana, are you ready to roll on our ingredient list and get some props?
Let's go. I'm ready.
I'm going to roll my 3d20, and then we're going to see what our ingredients are. We'll get an adjective, a premise, and a type of gameplay.
We got
a really on the nose adjective, and I promise that this was randomly pulled, but we might even want to swap it out because it's too on the nose. Because the adjective I pulled was thirsty.
Oh my god! No way.
I swear that was random, because I would never purposely choose, because it's too obvious, right?
Oh my god. Can I just say, aside, my favorite pun in the game?
Yeah.
We named the game Thirsty Suitors. We're trying to figure out the main character. I called her Jala, mm-hmm. which in Sinhala is a short form of the word water.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Dumb.
No, it's cool. It's a cool pun to do. I mean, she's got, this is the thing, is she's not going to satisfy your thirst. She is going to leave you thirsty. 100%.
That's true. She's the opposite of water. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to participate mm-hmm. in the Grant Howitt Dagger Dartboard?
Sure.
All right. I'm flipping a call. Heads or tails?
Heads.
And we got heads. All right. So I will roll one additional d20. And pull one of these options out. Okay, so I did get an adjective replacement. So thirsty has been replaced, tragically, but maybe for the best. Well, with the adjective obnoxious is what Grant Howitt has given us. Okay.
Okay.
So our adjective is obnoxious. Our premise, and this comes from Xavier Nelson Jr., mm-hmm. is shower food.
Okay.
And the gameplay type is survival horror. So
okay. All right. Okay.
On initial brush, how do you feel about these words?
I love the combination. It's wild. So I think we can do something interesting with it.
Shower food. Tell me how you feel about the phrase shower food.
Kind of gross, but you know, sure, we can make that work.
I think the concept behind shower food, I think, is the idea that some people will take like an orange with them into the shower and then peel the orange, and then it's like aromatherapeutic.
Got it.
But that's not what when I think of shower food, I think of clogged drains, because you've got...
Yeah, I think of like trying to eat a bacon cheeseburger while taking my shower and just everything just dripping into the drain.
Yes, a burrito that hasn't been wrapped properly, and you bite in and it just falls out the bottom and it's collecting around your bare feet in the slight pool of water.
And the water's hitting it, so it's getting all soggy.
Yeah, really... I'm caught between obnoxious and disgusting with that. I guess the obnoxious part is having to clean out the drain after you've done a bad job with your shower food.
Yeah, I guess the obnoxious part would be like, you can only take messy foods that are definitely going to get wet and make things worse for you. That's going to be the obnoxious part.
Yeah, nothing beautiful and self-contained like an orange or a banana even.
Or an apple, which would be easy. Who cares if it gets wet, right? You can still eat it.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, you could wash it off in the shower. So that's just good water usage. That's just like responsible. Right. Survival horror. Do you play much survival horror games? Have you played much of those?
I don't. I'm trying to think of the last one I played. What's a recent one?
Alan Wake 2, arguably. Wake 1.
Yeah, here and there.
Here and there, okay. The premise is shower food. My instinct is that, like, you could do some sort of, like, cooking game where you're in the shower.
Mm-hmm. I think, okay, so in this world, you're only safe when the shower is on.
Okay.
So you have to eat. You have to do other things while under a shower head. It's a shower head? Yeah. So the noise of the water keeps whatever the monsters there are away. It's like the opposite of was a Quiet Place, right? Quiet Place was where any noise would bring them to you. In this case, when the shower is running, because of the specific sound of the shower and water, keeps monsters away from you. So you have limited amount of time to do all the things you need to do.
Okay. That is such a fun inversion of like shower scenes in horror movies, where it's like the psycho of it all, where it's like you're most vulnerable in the shower. What if not? What if the opposite?
Yeah. What if you're the safest while the shower's running?
Yeah, you're safest under the shower. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. That could be an interesting mechanic of that could be like, it could be like you're saying a Quiet Place inversion, where it's like maybe the sound of the shower covers up all of your human sounds. So it's just like you're blending with the rain almost.
It's the white noise. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Yes. It's like a white noise shower rain machine.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you have to be under the shower most of the day.
So you have to collect water.
Ooh.
To make the shower run, because in this world, maybe the plumbing isn't, you know, it's all destroyed. So there's like these portable shower places that are safe spots throughout the world.
Okay, so it's like a post-apocalyptic game, a shower-based post-apocalypse.
The showers are the safe spots. Yeah, let's do that. So like maybe little, almost like little outhouse showers spread throughout the world.
Yes, just basic little stalls that you have to go between. Maybe you have like, I like this idea of like white noise. Maybe you have like a white noise machine, but it doesn't last very long. Mm-hmm. So you can sort of use that. I'm thinking about like Alien Isolation or something, where you have something that's going to buy you time, but not an endless amount of time. So you've got, maybe you've got like a little rain machine. Maybe you start off with like one of those rainmakers where you tip it and it has like, it has beans inside and it makes a kind of a rain-like sound, and that can be a like basic version.
And the only food left in this world, like, was it Zombieville? What's that zombie movie with Woody Harrelson?
It wasn't Zombieville, but it was something like that. Zombieland.
So the only food left are Twinkies, and you have to eat those Twinkies in the shower, which are pretty obnoxious.
That's so nasty. I'm just thinking of a soggy Twinkie. It's really nasty.
We got obnoxious, shower food, survival horror. Okay.
What is attacking you? Like, what is this creature? Right. Or what are these things? Like, what is the enemy?
Are they human-like?
Something that is afraid of water? We ended up making a thirsty game anyway. I'm just realizing. Oh,
right. So here's what I think is always interesting about zombies. If you don't shower, you will turn into one of the monsters.
Okay. So you're saying in this world, if you don't shower, so it's like a bacterial or fungal based.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That way we have this kind of alone dark situation where it's like the, you know, in that game, it's like the environment's going to kill you because you get too cold. So you have to find moments of heat. In this case, whatever the infection that happened, it's going to kill you unless you find showers.
Okay. Okay.
Which the white noise machine will keep the enemies away, or the monsters away, but right. You're still slowly turning into one till you use a shower to buy extra time.
Okay. I love that. Because it's really nasty. It really implies some stuff.
Yeah.
I'm imagining your character having, like, instead of a sanity meter, a stink meter.
Yeah.
And it's just like, getting stinkier. Uh-oh, I'm at terminal stink. I really have to get to a shower immediately.
Yeah.
And then you can also have elements of, like, natural showers. Like, maybe you're in a wilderness area where there are waterfalls. So, like, right. If you need right. to, you can hide out under that waterfall for a little bit. And then your base camp can be behind a waterfall, which is always iconic, like a little waterfall cave.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's your home base.
Maybe you can craft a little, like, watering can mini shower.
Yes, I love that. I love the idea of a survival like game like Minecraft or whatever, where instead of like figuring out how to make better axes or hammers, it is all about finding better ways to make yourself clean.
Yes.
Better and more elaborate shower tech.
So like what are those water dispensers, those jugs, right? Like maybe you have a backpack that you wear one of the jugs and there's like a little attachment over your head. That you hit a button to clean once in a while till you get to your next location.
And there are definitely like backpacker mobile showers that I think are basically just like buckets attached to spouts that you hang from trees and you stand under. And right. It helps you get a little less nasty when you're backpacking.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it has to be like some sort of shower head to get that sound.
Yes.
To keep the monsters away
trickling.
Too. Yeah.
Is the ultimate goal of this to make some sort of like hot springs shower camp? Is this like a The Forest or something like survival game where you are trying to like reestablish a foothold?
Yeah, I mean, are you trying to find out first of all, why are we turning into
stink zombies,
stink monsters, stink zombies?
Yeah,
and is there a way to reverse it?
Ooh.
And is this? Yeah, maybe there's a way to reverse it, you find out.
I like that. Maybe this is an entirely like non-combatant game where you can't and also you don't want to kill these people that used to be your friends. Like you want to get them clean. You want to scour them.
Unlike zombies, it's not a permanent transformation. Maybe there's a way to save it, and that's the whole conflict here.
I much prefer that to a straightforward zombie media, because I feel like so much of zombie media is just like, yay, I've got an excuse to commit violence against other humans. And it's like, okay, that's fine. It's a video game. It's fine to go off on that. But it's nice to think of a zombie game where there is the potential of like curing people and bringing them back. And that the way you do that is by showering their nasty asses.
Maybe we call them the noxious or something, you know, something.
That's a great play on obnoxious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The noxious. That is.
The noxious.
That is such a good faux zombie alternative word. Mm-hmm. The noxious. So it's some sort of, I guess, how are we going to visualize this nastification that your body potentially can undergo? Are there like patches growing on you? Is this like a moth sloth sort of thing where like sloths get like moss and algae growing on them because they're so slow, but this is like a version of that?
I wonder like what would be a good sort of water hitting something to clean it off. Like, what if it's like a soapy buildup?
So it's like a, they're soap zombies?
Yeah, they just get, instead of like a, some sort of Last of Us growth, mushroom, whatever, fungus, it's like a,
yeah,
a soapy layer.
So. A soapy layer. Okay. I think that's fun. I'm thinking about, because there are times like when you're trying to rush a shower. I camp a lot. And sometimes when you're camping, you have to like pay by the minute for showers. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. you're just like, I've got to pre-soap everything. And then right. when I get my minute of water, I've got to scrub. But sometimes it doesn't scrub and you can feel it like right. on your skin.
Yeah.
And that is such an uncanny feeling.
Yeah, you don't want all that. So you don't want to use too much soap, right? It's always a balance with how much water you think you have.
Yeah. And I think that's yeah. a fun mechanic too, because then like you've got to soap up, right? Because mm-hmm. that is part of how you're going to prevent yourself becoming a zombie. But also, right. but also you are going to have to, you're going to have to watch your soap consumption. You're
yeah.
going to have to balance the soap consumption and the Twinkie consumption. as you're also doing that.
I mean, maybe it's like parts of you get so soapy to waxy and turns into almost like, you know, holding a bar of soap kind of feel to your, like a layer above your over your skin.
Does it get frozen in place?
Because I'm imagining a
like yeah. a wax statue almost, where it's like yeah. if you don't clean your arm off well enough, it becomes stiff, and then you get like not combat, but it becomes more difficult to do things in game, or it takes longer.
Yeah. Sud fatigue. Sure.
Suds fatigue. Yeah. Yes. You get suds fatigue. I also love the idea that this is like a soapy world. Because mm-hmm. I'm imagining you're like cresting a hill as you're trying to explore to find more Twinkies out in the world. And you right. discover a town that's like covered in giant soap bubbles.
Yeah.
And you've got to like yeah. pop your way through. But popping it is going to expose you to soap. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it builds up. Was it that movie Annihilation? There's some really cool monster designs, and like it was like a crystallization of things. Maybe it's like yeah. that, where you can see where parts of the world is like the waxy soap crystallization is spreading slowly.
Okay, you see like a figure of a human, and you get closer, and they are just made up of tiny soap bubbles, and you can pop them, and they'll just drift away on the breeze. It's kind yeah. of beautiful.
It's pretty beautiful, yeah.
It's pretty beautiful. Is the shower food element... Okay, so you have to do as much as you can under the shower. And this is mm-hmm. a timed element where it's like some locations you go to, you're not going to have a lot of water to be working with.
Right.
I guess it's like... Is this like when you go to a movie theater and you're waiting for a loud part in the movie to unwrap a piece of candy because you know it's going to be super loud and it's going to... Everybody's yeah. going to hear you if you're eating right, hard candy right, in the right. theater because you're an old lady. Is it kind of like that, where it's like this Twinkie wrapper is going to be so loud that you can only unwrap it under a shower head, which is going to obfuscate the sound?
I think that's great. And then the whatever the soap monsters, what do we call them?
Do we want to call them the noxious?
I know, but then now I'm thinking maybe it's doesn't work because if they're like covered in soap, aren't they like the opposite of noxious?
Yeah. I mean, unless it's like a really potent soap. Like maybe it's just like an industrial soap where it's like you
Got
can
it.
Smell it from a long distance because it's like,
Got
oh
it.
My God. This was meant for scouring gym locker rooms.
And they slither around on their waxy surfaces so that you don't hear them.
Oh no. Oh my God. Wow. You really hit the survival horror layer of just being like, there's people slithering around on the ground, leaving soap trails like slugs.
Mm-hmm.
Soap slugs? Yeah.
Soap slugs.
Oh. Oh.
Soap boys. Oh. Soap.
Soap sods.
I don't know. We'll come up with something.
Hey, have you heard of Pusheen? And if so, when was the last time you thought about Pusheen? Well, she's an adorable little spherical animated cat who got her start as GIFs on Tumblr and is now just like a whole mascot. I'm a huge, huge fan. I own basically no character merch except for Pusheen. This is a Pusheen household. Sorry to Hello Kitty. And there's a Pusheen subscription box released once a quarter with insanely adorable Pusheen merch. The box for spring was loafing about themed and included a very soft hoodie, which I'm currently wearing, a coffee mug, notebook, a wooden serving tray, stickers, and more. And that was all exclusive to that box, and all for $45 or less depending on the subscription you get. The theme for the next box is freshly picked and looks to be fruit themed. You can check out past boxes and the Pusheen Cat Kit, which is a quarterly subscription box for cats, at bit.ly/JennaCat, all lowercase. That's bit.ly/JennaCat, all lowercase, to check out the adorable Pusheen subscription box. I hope you're enjoying Big Game Hunger, and I hope you're enjoying all the other podcasts in the Multitude Collective. Pale Blue Pod, Exolore, Join the Party. These are some incredible shows, and if you wish you had more Multitude shows to catch up on, I have good news for you. Members of the Multicrew get a whole RSS feed full of bonus audio, including our newest show, The Multicrew Review. Every month, Julia of Spirits and Join the Party sits down with one of the other members of Multitude to talk about something that they love and that they think you'll love too. From video games to albums to activities like gardening, the members of Multitude show their passion and love with the hope that they can introduce you to something that you'll love as well. Along with Head, Heart, Gut, Multicrew Review is exclusively for members of Multicrew, our membership program that supports all of Multitude. Get Multicrew Review and Head, Heart, Gut, as well as our other audio exclusives by going to multicrew.club to sign up today. So you have a suds fatigue, soap suds. What are other good, I'm thinking about like other shower stuff, loofahs are great. Maybe that's like an item that you can get that will help you better scrub the soap off faster.
Yeah. And you need like almost like a soap axe to get past, like if someone that's like really layered, you gotta like hack away, get to a base layer before you can use water, right? Because you can't just,
yes,
it's like putting a whole, you know, whole giant piece of soap into water. It's gonna take a while to,
yeah, get and it'll it, be right? easier if you have like hot water. So I'm wondering if maybe there's a mechanic where you've got to like heat water up and then blast people. Like you have like some sort of pressurized backpack that you can use to like blast people clean. And then what happens to those people once you free them from the soap curse?
Yeah.
I guess, are they allies? Do you have like an ally mechanic, or do they just disappear into the world and you just live with the knowledge that the world is a little safer now?
Because I mean, maybe that, oh yeah, that's also good. Well, maybe there's these safe houses that you create that you bring people to, and they could, you know, they could build utility things for, depending on who they are, maybe they can build stuff for you or research, which could add to the game.
You go to a safe house. It's called a bathhouse in these games. They're all called bathhouses. And it's like a safe house like you would find in a regular game that there's just like clusters of people and you go to a workshop. But it's all – everybody's in towels. Everybody's like having a sauna experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Spas are like the safe houses, right?
I like that a lot. That's how we feel about spas sometimes in the real world, where it's just like, okay, I'm safe now. I'm in the gentle clutches. To heal, you have to go to a masseuse and they like rub you with oil and clean you down.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of power there. It's very satisfying.
There's some good surprise. I'd make this game. This is cool already.
Do we want to do anything more with shower food? I really like Twinkies as sort of the incentive for exploring. I think there's something clear and straightforward about that. Whereas like a lot of games of this caliber have a pretty elaborate crafting mechanics, and we will. But the crafting mechanics is all shower-related crafting stuff.
Yep.
Do we want to do anything more with the food aspect? Do we want there to be cooking or gathering?
Cooking is always interesting. I guess with the water, we could always boil things.
You're having a little cup ramen in your shower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a smart way of employing it because, I mean, then you don't have to worry so much. Maybe this is what it is like some of the food is loud. And so you have to eat it under the shower because it's going to attract these soap monsters anyway. But some of the food is just better wet. Some of it is better wet and you need hot water. So maybe if you have a lot of hot water, you can set up rice to boil in the searingly hot water. Or you can do your cup ramen, of which I'm very fond.
Yeah. So dehydrated food, because maybe you have a weight limit, right? Because the water is the biggest, the heaviest thing. So carrying light dehydrated food that can be enhanced in the hot water or cold water, or whatever shower you're doing, might be the way to go. Yeah.
Leading back to this overall like camping inspiration, where it is like, yeah, if you're going backpacking, as you say, water is like the heaviest part of food. So if you dehydrate it, it'll be a lot easier. Okay. So you get like dehydrated meat or like some of those pre-made packs that's like, this is dehydrated chili, just add water.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah. That works.
Yeah. I think that's perfect. That's a perfect way to engage with shower food. Is it nasty enough? Is it obnoxious enough?
Probably not. Let's see.
How can we make this whole experience more obnoxious?
Yeah. I mean, can we bring the soapy element into it where you're kind of eating soap? Nobody likes that.
Okay, you're eating soap. I'm imagining that old saying of like, I'm going to wash your mouth out if you curse too much. Is there an element of that?
Yeah.
About like of punitive soap-based punishments?
Is there something where it's almost like a camouflage if you gotta have soap as part of an element to keep the soapies away? I don't know.
Oh, okay. So there is like soap carving is a thing, right? Uh-huh. Where like people will, because it's easier to carve than wood. So you can carve soap. I do like the idea that you would maybe have to carve a lure.
What if you have to carve a little bowl? Like, only thing available from all the materials is soap. So you have a soap carved bowl that you're eating your ramen in that's getting wet.
Wet and soapy.
But that's the only option in this world.
There's no wood. There's no wood or stones like you would gather in a normal survival game. There is only soap.
Soap-based utensils, soap-based cups and bowls.
You have to make a soap axe, and that soap axe can help you break through the soap layer on your enemies, but it'll also help you chop down a soap tree.
Yes.
That you can use to carve and to make bigger things. That's so funny. It's really incredible to me, the idea that you would have to like carve a bucket out of soap to carry water in and then use that water to clean you off. But it's always already slightly soapy. And so you have to balance. So that's why you have to go back to like this natural water source. You're going to have to go back to a river.
Yeah, to really clean that out. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny. Okay. What are some other things you would want to carve? Not weapons per se, because I don't know. Because again, we're not doing a combat route.
Yeah. Like soap boots?
Soap slippers?
Mm-hmm. Soap slippers.
Really uncomfortable.
That way you can slither like the soap people.
You can like slide. You can slide everywhere on your soapy soap slippers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you making soap clothing as well? No. I think you have to have regular clothing, but maybe soap accessories.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's moments where there are a lot of, we need a name for these soap zombies.
It's tricky because the Noxious was so good.
Noxious was good. Yeah. What's another like bubble, soap bubbles?
I mean, suds. We could do like soap buds instead of soap suds.
These sud butts.
Sud buds. I like sud buds.
Maybe sud buds are the survivor, like the ones you save.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Makes more sense. Sud buds is such a disarming thing to call zombies. I mean, slitherers is pretty good and ominous.
The slippery.
The slick.
Yeah, the slicks.
The slicks. I like the slicks. Because that sounds like a 90s Riot Girl band. Yeah. I would so listen
you
to.
You can convert a Slicks into a Sudbud if you, you know.
If you've got enough water pressure, if you've got enough water stored up.
You know, there's that moment in Predator, Arnold Schwarzenegger's old 80s movie, where he had to like cover himself in mud.
Yeah.
As a camouflage. So maybe there's like really highly Slicks infected areas where you have to like cover yourself in soap. But if you... It's a balance, right? Because if your soap meter goes up too high, then you're converting into a Slick. So it's like, it's a highly dangerous area where that's maybe where some of the parts you need or like a spa that you need to save.
To free up,
yeah.
Or, I mean, what if there is like a dirtiness mechanic? What if you can pre-dirty yourself? What if you do exactly what Schwarzenegger does, which is like you muddy yourself up before going into the soap area, and that kind of gives you a little bit of resistance?
Ah, okay. So in this case, yeah, we're kind of flipping it, right? Now that's like... Instead of trying to clean yourself off, you're trying to dirty yourself up because...
You're the noxious,
yes. That's the way of fighting the Slicks.
I think that is a funny option. Because I do think there is something essentially satisfying to get really mucky and dirty every once in a while. I don't want to do it all the time, but sometimes it's nice to go out in the wilderness and just get covered in gunk or like to get really, really sweaty and dirty.
Yeah, maybe there's like the dirt and sand kind of gives you a gritty layer against the Slicks.
I like that. I'm just imagining you like pre-muddying yourself up. There's like a pat animation where you're dirtying yourself up. And you're rolling in mud like a pig. And then you get up and you walk into this sudsy area. And there's just like the Slicks are like tackling you. And every time they do, you like a little bit of it wipes off. And you can see your dirt meter going down further and further as you try to push through this clean area to get to the soap, to get to the bathhouse. To free it all.
I love it.
I think that's very compelling. I think it's a very visual. I'm just imagining a mix-up almost of like the hyper bright, hyper saturated kind of Fortnite style of the enemy world, and then the weird, almost hyper realistic version of you covered in mud, slowly becoming more bright and more saturated, more colorful as you get cleaned off.
So if you're the noxious, should the bathhouses be the opposite now? Should they be dirty? To be maybe grungy and dirty and textury, and then against the contrast that with the Slicks, which is smooth and waxy. And
I think the bathhouses should be the proper goal, which is neither too clean nor too dirty.
It's the Goldie House effect
where it's like, this is just right. You can't be too dirty. It's okay to be dirty, but you don't want to be too dirty too often. But you also don't want to be too clean too often. Like you can't sterilize yourself and your whole world all the time. Right. So I think the bathhouses are like the middle ground of that, where everyone is experiencing proper hygienics.
Yeah, if you get too clean, you turn into a Slicks, right?
So I think that balance. I think that balance is really funny.
It's a cool world.
I think it's a cool world building. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do we want to define anything about our main character? Like, what are they bringing to this situation? Right.
Yeah. I mean, is there some sort of like a genetic reason why they are maybe less resistant to the Slicks?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Or like a background, like maybe they were a janitor. And so, like, the overpowering industrial smell of the Slicks doesn't get them as much because they're like, you know, I was a janitor for 40 years. I'm pretty used to it by now.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe something about their pores on their skin also. I don't know enough about pores and skin and sweat to understand the physiology of things, but
maybe they've got really big or really small pores. I also don't know enough about pores to know how that works.
Wait, so dogs don't sweat, right? They have to pant?
I think so, to release heat.
Is that just because they're sweat glands? There's something about sweat glands. We're probably completely wrong. I have no idea. I'm sorry.
Yeah, neither of us are dog biologists. So it's hard to say. But I do like the idea that, yeah, they just have either really clean or really bad skin. And then that gives them resistance in some way.
Yeah, I like your janitor, kind of MacGyver janitor role, where they're just like...
Give them advanced soap knowledge.
Mm-hmm. They're really crafty at building various mini showers and, yeah, backpacks and things. Yeah.
Maybe it's like, because a common thing with survival horror games or survival games in general is that you'll have like three beginning paths, and maybe like one is the camper, one is the janitor, and one is the tight poured. they just have really tight pores. So it's harder for them to get dirty maybe, but easier for them to get clean.
Yeah, so they have a natural defense, but they're not as crafty as the other two. Yeah. Maybe one is like more offensive. They could build more cool like weaponry. Oh, or one is like better at carving because they're sculptors. So they can carve all sorts of soap stuff. And then one is just naturally like can resist things longer, but they need other people's help to build those things.
That implies that this is a multiplayer game. Is that something we want to flirt with, or is it?
I mean, it could be a multiplayer game, or the other characters become AI characters. So depending on who you not choose, right, they become sidekicks in the game that you find.
Okay, later. So whichever of the paths you choose, those other people are still out there, and you have to find them in the world.
Yeah, maybe like there's a map, and you pick one of the three, and then you have to find the other two. Yeah.
Okay, and when you approach them, they're like, I've heard about you, the legends of the tight-poured one. Look at your skin.
So resistant to soaping.
Your pores are basically invisible. You're the chosen one. Yeah. Yep, that's crazy. I like that.
So it's almost like a mage and a warrior and some kind of tanky character, right? Like.
Yes, yeah, you've got the rogue, which is the person who can carve, the sculptor who can carve really good soap-based things.
Yeah.
And they can probably unlock special decorative items, I think, for their camp. That's how you get cool sculptures of people or like lion sculptures made of soap out front.
Yeah. And you have the weak mage who is like natural resistance to the slicks, but need some physical support around them.
Yeah, maybe they're like, yeah, they're the mage because they know a lot about skincare. That's the secret, is everyone thinks it's good genetics, but they're actually just like an expert in skincare. Yes.
They've always, they prepared for this moment their whole life. Yes. By taking care of their skin and knowing all about different skincare products.
Yeah. Yes, and when you get them on board, they can give buffs to everyone. They're the buff character because they're like, oh no, you've got combination skin. You've been doing this all wrong. We're going to get you some vitamin C scrub. You're going to be looking so perky.
I love it.
Yes, and the janitor can be the defensive character because they know all about, or maybe they're offensive because they know how to proactively fight dirt and cleanliness, and they know how to do it in the right way.
Well, like combo products and water and liquids. Yeah,
they get a bonus to all that. I love that structure. And then they can each have their own like backstory. Do we want to set this? A lot of survival horror games are set in. I'm thinking maybe of The Last of Us, which is kind of set in real-world locations. Would we want this to be a real-world location or just kind of like a generic Soapsville, a Sudstown sort of area?
I think it'd be nice to have like a wilderness and like a city, more urban area.
Okay.
And then the wilderness area and then something in between where... So you have like, you know, different types of needs or resources based on sort of that area.
Okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense. You'll maybe there's like an industrial factory area, and that place is really heavily hit because they had a lot of industrial chemicals and things like that.
Maybe this is where it started. Maybe the slicks disaster started in some industrial area.
Okay, I love that. Maybe it's like, maybe this is a very, very localized apocalypse where it hasn't quite fully spread yet, but it is taking over this sort of factory town.
Yeah.
I think that's always interesting when you see stories about like how people in small towns adjust when factories are built nearby. And by adust, I mean usually suffer under the pollution totally suffer, and the runoff from these factories.
Yeah. So it's maybe instead of urban, maybe it's like farm town. So there's like slick cows that attack you and things like that, right? Slick chickens, slick chicks.
Slick chicks. Oh, man, they're the flying enemy and they're the most annoying.
And they're alarmed. So they just let every other slicks in the area know.
Yeah, but the pigs never turn, because pigs are always wallowing in the filth. And if you're getting into like slick farm territory, that if you can find the pig pen, you're going to have a little bit of protection. You just got to muck yourself up, hang out with some cool pigs before you get at it.
Right.
Would the cows also slither around like on their stomachs? Yes.
They have to, right? Yeah.
I'm imagining like a horse on its side, like propelling its legs half-heartedly along the ground.
But they have to kind of snake around with their undulating cow bodies.
And they presumably ram you because they can't do much else.
Yeah.
That was not... I did accidentally just make two farm puns because I did say ram you. Do not mess with the ram slicks. They will mess you up.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. So we had this farming town that got slowly, let's say, farm economy, as it is in the U.S., turned pretty bad. So this company bought part of farmland and turned it into this soap production that just, where they weren't really following the rules, and it went haywire and created this mini apocalypse. So that's good. So we have some space. We have farmland. We have animals. We have... various buildings,
like
different farmer, buildings and things.
Different locations that you can explore and get different bonuses. What's the end goal? Like, what are you trying to like defeat this soap menace? Are you just trying to survive?
I almost feel like having like a family member or friend or lover or somebody that's part of this that, you're trying to save ultimately. Maybe that your initial goal is just to save them and survive, but then you realize what's going on and you're like, I have a responsibility to this town because I know everybody, like maybe there's that angle too.
Okay, I like that as a story structure, because then you'll start off being like, I don't think I can defeat these, but then maybe really early on you realize, oh, if you power blast people, you can free them from this. So it probably opens with a really dramatic scene of like your loved one getting slicked. getting slick backed, and you're like, I've got to do something about that, but I don't know what. You discover that you can help clear them off, so that becomes your number one focus. But as you're clearing off these areas, you clear off like the person who ran the grocery store down the street from your hometown, who you've known all your life, and you're like, oh, I really took for granted your presence in my life before you became a soap monster, and now that I freed you from that soap monster curse, we can like build this relationship back up where I stop taking you for granted.
Yeah, I love the idea of your character, or one of the characters, maybe it's like you left this town because you're like, oh god, I'm so tired of living in this shitty little town. You left for the big city.
Yeah,
things didn't work out and you're like ran out of money, so you came back and you're just not happy. This disaster happens and you start to slowly understand everyone in town and why they're important and like they're people. Like I love like those sort of like connections you'd make, like rediscovering the folks that you took for granted when you lived there.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a great through line about Thirsty Suitors. And so I think we can bring that also, that energy into it. Maybe it's like Resident Evil, where you arrive mid-disaster and like things have already gotten pretty bad and you show up and you're like, what has happened in this isolated small town that I used to live in? I mean, that is also because Thirsty Suitors has that whole cult under like story through line that is sort of a similar thing. That's similar to what we're doing, but with soap zombies,
exactly, with slits and soap sud buds.
You gotta get your sud buds back on their feet so they're not slithering around anymore.
And, I mean, maybe there's a relationship connection with the sud buds where you're like, maybe you save somebody that you never really got along with, now they're like kind of okay because you saved them.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, my mom's stuck in whatever general store. If you help her out, then the sud bud, your relationship grows with them and they can like build you some cool stuff to help fight the rest of the town.
Yeah, I love the idea that you have you've saved somebody who you don't know who it is because they're covered in soap, but you break them through and you're like, oh, this jerk. And they're like, oh, you saved me? I hate that. I hate you. I'm not grateful that you saved me. And so you have to kind of explore, like, why do they hate you? What did you do? And how do you repair that?
Yeah, maybe there's like 10 whatever characters in this game, right?
Yeah.
But every time you play it, what characters under that slick layer could change dynamically depending on, you know, so it always feels fresh.
Yeah, fresh. Hey. Chandana, what do we want to call this game?
Oh, yeah.
Because you've coined a lot of really good terms for the things.
The slicks, the sud buds. Yeah.
Sud buds is not terrible. Mm-hmm. I think it's disarming for how hard hitting the game is going to be.
I mean, sud bud survival.
Maybe. Sudbud survival.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I liked Sud's Fatigue, but maybe it's not super catchy as a title, I guess.
Sud's Fatigue is great for like a meter, I think, in the game.
I think you should have a Sud's Fatigue and a Mud's Fatigue, and it's your cleanliness or your dirtiness. I like Sudbud survival. That internal rhyme is, I'm always allured by that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe like cleansing of X, like cleansing of town, kind of.
Ooh. Type,
yeah.
The cleansing of Soapsville.
Yeah.
That is such an indie game name. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It is.
I think Sudbud's survival, it beats it out for me. I think that's just really catchy.
Because it's got like a cute thing, but also then survival element. So maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. If you're okay with that,
I'm cool with that.
Do you have anything that you would like to plug?
I guess go play Thirsty Suitors if you haven't yet.
Yes. Are you working on anything else that you can talk about?
We are working on a new thing. Still figuring it out, but maybe sometime soon.
I'll post obviously links to Thirsty Suitors, which everybody here should play, and links to your studio Twitter, Instagram. Do you have a preference?
Twitter's fine.
Yeah. All right, and so you can follow now, and then when they're prepared to talk about their new project, you can instantly wishlist it and buy it when that comes out.
We would appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Big Game Hunger is a part of the Multitude Collective of Podcasts created and hosted by me, Jenna Stieber. If you enjoy this episode, don't forget to wishlist and also spread the word so other people can enjoy it as well. To support this show directly, subscribe at patreon.com/thejenna. Every month, subscribers can submit prompts that get added to the ingredient list. Help guide the podcast and our brainstorming at patreon.com/thejenna. Chandana, what's one word, adjective, gameplay type, premise, etc. that you want added to the ingredient list?
Management sim. Is that already in there? Probably.
No, it is not. Do you want to specify a kind of management or just management?
Store management.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of games that I've been looking at.
Do you like store management sims? Or do you want to burden somebody with the concept?
I mean, I think I played a game called Final Profit, a shop RPG.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry. Shop management sim. Sorry, shop management is what I meant. Yeah. It's a really great take on those games, but it has like a really great story premise.
Okay.
So, like, I like the idea of putting an interesting narrative premise onto these genres that typically don't have it. So,
yeah. I've played some very good story-forward store management sims, and I think that that is a rife area for development. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll do that here, and then it'll never get made into a game. Thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome. This has been so much fun.
Oh, good. Thank you, listener, for enjoying Big Game Hunger. And don't forget to wishlist Sudbud's Survival on Steam. Release date, TBD.